Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the Santhera Pharmaceuticals CHMP opinion on Raxone in DMD conference call. I'm Sarah, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. This conference call may contain certain forward-looking statements based on current assumptions and forecasts made by Santhera Pharmaceuticals. Such statements involve certain risks, uncertainties, and other factors which could cause the actual results, financial condition, performance, or achievements of Santhera Pharmaceuticals to be materially different from those expressed or implied by such statements. These factors include those discussed in the comprehensive risk factor disclosure on the company's website at www.santhera.com. Santhera disclaims any obligation to update any forward-looking statements. The conference may be downloaded on Santhera's website during the 2 weeks following the call. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Thomas Meyer, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, operator. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, attending this conference call. I would like to inform you about the decision that was rendered by the CHMP earlier this week on our marketing authorization application for Raxone in Duchenne muscular dystrophy, DMD. Just as a reminder, we filed a type 2 variation to the existing marketing authorization for the eye disease, LHON, in May 2016. In September last year, then, the CHMP rendered a negative opinion, which we appealed. This week now has the CHMP maintained the original position and issued a final negative opinion for Raxone in this procedure. I'd like to summarize a couple of important points from our today's news before I open the lines for questions and answers. The CHMP recognized the urgent medical need to treat respiratory function decline in patients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy unable to take glucocorticoids or steroids. These are patients who may have taken steroids in the past but had to stop the use of steroids because of side effects, or those who never took steroids for various reasons. The CHMP recognized also that this population of DMD patients does exist and that there is a clinical rationale to treat these patients. From current studies, it is known that in Europe, about 40% of patients between the age of 10 and 20 years are not using steroids. This is the age range where respiratory function decline starts to cause clinical complications, which eventually commands a change in disease management and ultimately results in early morbidity and mortality in patients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. The CHMP also recognized that the Phase 3 DELOS trial had a statistically significant outcome in its primary endpoint, peak expiratory flow, or PEF. The endpoint was acceptable on clinical grounds as well as regulatory grounds, as it is specifically listed in the EMA guideline on Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Moreover, the observed effect size of the primary endpoint was accepted as clinically relevant. Respiratory function outcomes for endpoints also listed in the EMA guideline on DMD were supportive, and this was recognized. I will not go into more details from the data of the DELOS trial, as they were published in the meantime in 5 peer-reviewed medical papers, which are listed in our press release of today. I'd like to highlight, however, that we saw in the DELOS trial that there were fewer patients treated with Raxone reporting fewer bronchopulmonary adverse events, these are airway infections and related conditions, compared to the placebo group, that they needed to use less systemic antibiotics, and there were also fewer hospitalizations reported that were caused by respiratory complications. And all these data are published. So the question is, why did the CHMP then not come to a positive vote at the present time based on the current data? The overall evidence base was deemed not strong enough for an approval. Remember, the DELOS trial contained or enrolled 64 patients, 33 in one group and 31 in the other. And although the p-value for the primary endpoint was significant, which was accepted, it was not compelling enough to allow approval based on this data set alone. Also, the CHMP wanted to see strengthened evidence that the positive effect seen on the spirometry outcomes translates into patient benefit. They agreed to consider the two patient populations, These are steroid users and steroid non-users as separate and therefore can consider an approval for steroid non-users only. This means that we wouldn't have to wait for the outcome of the ongoing Sideros trial currently conducted in patients using steroids. Feedback from the EMA officials made clear that they do not expect us to conduct another placebo-controlled trial in this population. That means that we don't have to repeat Delos, as this would be also considered unethical. Essentially, they want us to do additional work to be successful in a second filing. They expect us to come back and have regular interactions with members of the EMA and their committees to prepare for a successful refiling. Now, what are our next steps? Immediately now, we will convene an expert panel, including those who supported us during this procedure, to discuss options for data collections. These could be, just for example, a biomechanical study, which would link the effect of idebenone on muscle tissue to respiratory function outcomes. This is only one possibility we are already actively considering with clinical experts. Following such feedback by the experts, we will then seek scientific advice at the national and European level to obtain the buy-in from regulators that data resulting from these studies would be considered useful. I assume for now that my colleagues from the development, clinical science, and data analysis teams will dedicate the entire year 2018 with this effort before we consider a new filing. As a company, we remain fully committed to further demonstrate the therapeutic benefit for Raxone treatment that can be brought to patients. And before I close my introductory statement, I take the opportunity to thank our internal filing team for their hard work over the past 2 years, the growing number of clinical experts who support us, and foremost also the patients, their families and caregivers, as well as patient organizations for their continued support. And with this, I hand back to the operator, and we open the question and answer session.
The first question is from Bob Pooler from Valuation Lab. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Thomas. A few questions, if I may, just for clarification. The CHMP, they want a stronger link between the treatment effects that you saw in respiratory function with patient benefit there. So given the small amount of numbers, that's basically the reason why they want to see this this patient benefit maintained or see that further investigated. So is that what you're now looking at this moment of doing that?
Yeah, I think, Bob. What they wanted really to say, okay, they understand the spirometry outcomes, and they do recognize that the effect we see are clinically relevant from measurement point of view, but how does it translate really into patient benefit? We have provided data on airway infections and so forth, mm-hmm. but again, numbers are small, p-values are marginal, so I think they simply would like to have more comfort that really, once they approve the drug, that patients do benefit from it and not just a change in some measurement parameters. And this is something where we can also work with natural history data to, for instance, mm-hmm. compare what we have as a rate of decline to certain milestones, compare this to natural history data, and they would be open to consider such analyses as being helpful.
Okay, so it's a little bit like revisited with LHON, where also there were we actually had a willing CHMP panel, but it was just getting more confidence in the data because of the small data set, actually.
Yeah, it reminds us a little bit, for those who follow the company for longer, that in LHON we had a similar situation. There was just not enough data, mm-hmm. not enough evidence to convince the panel. And so we went on and collected open-label data that were already ongoing at the time, and they were found then very useful in the resubmission and actually considered as supportive evidence that led then finally to the approval. I think that we are in a similar situation today in DMD.
Mm-hmm. And just if I may, also on so your plans in the EU, there you'll be, as you explained, going through experts and also with the regulatory, quite an interaction there, and that will take up into 2018. Anything else that you could add there? And then also maybe is there any impact also for the U.S. development plans as well?
Yeah, so, clearly we need to already have plans in the working to meet with our clinical experts that were with us at the oral explanation. Just to mention, we had four clinical experts, one statistical expert, and one patient expert or patient representative mm-hmm. with us. So we will convene that group. These are mainly Europe, but also a very few U.S. experts that we will pull in. And then they were with us at the oral explanation, so they have heard what was discussed. And so they can mm-hmm. bring their interpretation of what they think we need to do in order to best address this. Then we collect these data or this information, and we go back to the CHMP or national levels to get scientific advice. And then then to get input in order to best plan to collect this data. Now, with respect to the U.S., we have currently ongoing efforts to prepare a U.S. NDA dossier, and this is still ongoing without any change. We had obviously hoped that a positive CHMP decision would accelerate our efforts here. I will meet with regulatory advisors in the back end of February to discuss all our options, but I think we currently all agree that there's a possibility that the FDA could come to a different decision. We still need to see that, but we are preparing to continue to prepare a filing in the U.S. as well. And we will communicate our decision then late in the year.
Okay, yeah, because it appears that the U.S. FDA commissioner, the new FDA commissioner, is really pushing for novel drugs, but also for rare disease drugs. So that could be something that could pan out nicely going forward with this. Just a final question then, just to clarify. So basically, CHMP did accept then the specific indication of reducing respiratory decline in the subset of DMD patients not treated with steroids, and they're willing also then to approve a drug for this specific indication, specific subset.
That's correct. So that was clearly decided, or after input from a scientific advisory group, that it was this. They accepted that the patients not taking steroids are clinically defined, and that this is a group that is addressable. And they clearly said that they would indicate a label just for that subgroup. Should then the ongoing phase 3 trial in patients using steroids, which is the CEDROS trial, also be supportive, then this could be used to expand the label even further. But they do separate these two patient populations on clinical grounds.
Okay. That's very positive. Well, all I have to say is just keep pushing. I think there's a huge unmet medical need for DMD patients, and the two drugs that are on the market basically haven't completed or failed phase 3. So I hope in the near future that you're able to convince the regulators to get this drug approved for DMD patients.
Thank you, Bob.
But thank you for taking my question.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
The next question is from Arsène Guekam, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Mr. Guekam, your line is maybe muted.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. Two questions, if I may. When do you expect to be able to refile your dossier? Is the first one. How complex are the studies you need to do before a new filing? And last one, what will be the additional cost of all these studies?
Yeah, as I explained, we are just now meeting with experts to discuss what possible studies we should actually consider. Once we have decided on what the studies would look like, we can then think about the timelines and also the costs. So this is simply too early to answer these questions.
Okay.
The next question is from Joseph Hedden from RX Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Thomas. Thanks for taking my question. The in its communication, the CHMP talks about protocol changes in the Delos trial. Can I just ask what were those changes, and has there been any kind of equivalent changes in the ongoing CEDROS trial?
No, thank you for the question. The protocol changes, and this is all also published, it's in the Lancet paper even. Originally, we had planned a much bigger study, which would have two groups of patients separately enrolled, which are the steroid non-users. This was group number one. And then after that was to be analyzed, the steroid users, which was planned as group number two, would have been enrolled. Now, at the time when we had finalized the group one, which are the current Delos population, We were not sure what the impact of steroids could be on the effect that was to be expected. So we had amended the protocol and decided that we finalize the study with group number one, which is the current Delos trial. And after some time, maybe in the course of the last 2 years, we have learned a lot of what the effect of steroids on the respiratory function is. And now we have planned a standalone study, which is called the CEDARO study, that is now investigating the efficacy in the patients on steroids. And the result from this protocol changes is the overall study population number, patients enrolled, was then much smaller because this was only the cohort number one, and the second cohort was never enrolled, which leads again to the point that the study size of 64 patients is considered as on the lower end of what they would really want to see in the DMD indication.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Walter Harrison from Granite Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, just a follow-up. When do you think you might be filing in the U.S.?
We will disclose a timeline when we had further clarification feedback from regulatory advisors. So I think we are not giving a timeline at this present moment.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sebastian Buch from Union Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. A question, as you've been talking now about the need to go for some muscle tissue indicators and the relationship of muscle tissue with respiratory outcomes now and the additional work you're supposed to do now with Delos, don't you feel the need to adjust the endpoints, primary and secondary, you're looking after in the CEDAROS study? Why shouldn't we run into the same need for some kind of muscle conclusions with CEDAROS?
Well,
in the future.
Yeah, the answer is the same as we had in Delos, if I may just add here, that patients in respiratory function decline stage are typically much weaker. And in Delos, they were all non-ambulant, so there was no possibility to test 6-minute walk test or upper limb strength. There were 60% of patients who couldn't even raise the hand to the mouth in the Delos trial. And the CHMP recognized that in a patient population that is so advanced as in this stage, there is no basis to really test reliably any muscle strength and muscle function. So the CEDAROS trial has the same objective to test the efficacy of the drug on respiratory function outcomes, and they have recognized that this is something that they could approve it for. And there, in order to enroll patients in respiratory function decline, one goes typically for older patients, and they are already weaker and therefore not suitable to test other endpoints such as muscle function or muscle strength in upper limbs. And this,
okay.
This was recognized. And I think what we now need to do is really to link the effects we saw on spirometry outcomes to plausibly link this to a patient benefit in the long term or so that the patient has a benefit from that, but this is not related to limb strength or other disease parameters. So we can really focus on respiratory function outcomes, and the CHMP endorsed that approach.
For CEDAROS. Because here on Delos, the European bodies, they did indeed say, if I got it right, that they needed some kind of reliable, acceptable indicator for muscle strength that was lacking in Delos. This is what I remember having read in some of the official documents of the EMA body.
That was before the appeal. During the appeal
in
the scientific advice group meeting, it was discussed, and the scientific advice group clearly stated that in the patient population that was investigated, an effect on upper limb strength could not be expected from the advanced stage of the disease. So this is off the table.
This is off the table. So you won't have to show any statistically positive effect on any kind of muscle indicator, muscle tissue quality indicator, or whatsoever. This is completely off the table.
They have accepted that the Delos trial was not suitable to detect any effect on upper lower limb strength because the advancement of the patient population enrolled. Yeah, that is correct.
Okay, Delos cannot show it. But you still are required now to get edibenone or rexone approved in a second filing to show some kind of linkage between rexone effect on muscle.
What we're doing now
to get the thing approved?
Yeah, what we're doing now is one idea, it's not yet finalized, is to do a biomechanical study on ribcage muscles just to see that we can link the movement of the ribcage, for example, and the strength of the muscles to really the spirometry outcomes. But this is all respiratory function. We did not look at other disease domains such as limb strength, lower and upper limb strength, or cardiac function, anything else. So we are now trying, for instance, as an example, a biomechanical study where we link the movements of the ribcage and the strength of the muscle moving the ribcage to spirometry outcomes. That would be something that could be really helpful to understand the plausibility of the effect that is seen on the spirometry outcomes to translate into patient benefit.
Mm-hmm. And what should make us optimistic that you would be able to show some kind of a positive signal for rexone on this point?
Well, we are working with a group that have already done such investigations, including with patients on drug, and we now need to see what these data show. I mean, we have the data in the Delos trial are acceptable, and they are what they are. And we have data on spirometry outcomes that also were mirrored by fewer bronchopulmonary adverse events, fewer airway infections, and also less use of antibiotics. And that was all accepted. They just said we need a bit more to make it help us to bring this dossier over the finish line, just bring us more data to make it a bit more robust as just having one trial with the outcomes that we have described in Delos.
Okay. And you would take this biomechanical analysis of the ribcage of the Delos patients and compare to natural history?
No, we would do that. No, we would do that actually in new patients that are currently already available in this clinic that we're talking to. So this would be new data, not just the analysis of the existing Delos data, because in Delos we didn't have the biomechanical analyses.
Okay. Okay. Which comes back to a new study, actually, that you would be conducting. You know?
It is a new investigation in patients, yeah, absolutely, but it is not a new randomized controlled trial.
Yeah, fair point. And roughly the size of these patients, just to get a rough estimate on time it would consume to get it done.
We know the results of the outcomes in 3 days. I think we need a bit more time to think about what we're exactly doing. I cannot tell you anything more than just this is a paper or even a protocol draft that we have on the table right now. We have done some feasibility that this can be done. We need to now really dive into that and investigate this. I think we come back to this group and tell what our plans are, which type of studies or data collections we would like to conduct in the next couple of months once we have spoken to our expert group.
Okay, fine. Thanks for the moment. Thank you.
The next question is from Alan Ekman from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Can you share with us a little bit your cash situation, cash burn, and if there is anything who needs to be addressed due to this unfortunate result now?
I actually prefer not to comment on the cash situation because we have planned on Monday, it happens to be like that, to release our 2017 figures. So I think all discussion about cash reach and so forth, I think I would like to postpone to Monday, press release on Monday, and also conference call on Monday.
Hi there, I'm back. Thanks. On Cedaros, can you tell us what the rough enrollment number is as of today or as of year-end last year?
I can tell you the target date of completion is second half of 2020.
Is trial completion, okay. And this is an 18-month trial.
Correct.
18-month follow-up. Yeah, 18-month trial it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And an update on the data in PPMS, which was expected for some kind around year end 17, early 18.
Again, I have to refer to Monday's press release where we have an update on these programs. I don't want to preempt that discussion at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at the moment. Would you like to conclude the call, sir?
Thank you very much, operator. Yes, I think we can conclude the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.